are gonna read the whole chapter, and bear with me, I will read it for all of us. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gift of the Spirit, brother and sister, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same spiritual Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The one that is given through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguish between Spirit, to another, speaking in different kind of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Unity and diversity in the body. Just as body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given to the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not far for that reason stop being a part of body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the essence of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would be the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unprincipled are treated with a special modesty. While our principal parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is not honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. and God has placed in the church first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gift of healing, of helping, guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I trust that everyone has received three items, I think, as you came in. You haven't. You might want to have them because there is a place to take some notes on the sermon today if you so choose. This piece of paper right here is actually a collection of all the various assets that you, our church, came up with on the 8th of October, as you see on the wall as you walked in this morning. So I've just taken them and I've written them all down. I've eliminated duplicates because the Bible, prayer, things like that, were on here several times. But otherwise, I have not changed them. I've simply written them as they were written. There is a blank column for you to add in additional assets that you might think of as we go along. And as we said then, hopefully, this is only the beginning of this process. This is not a sermon series that ends now, but hopefully a new way to think. So my question for you today is, where do we go from here? What is next? What is our next step? Perhaps we should do a quick review. We've been doing a sermon series on Because of You. We've been talking about asset-based community development, which is a program that the Norwegian Mission Society, with whom we are partners, we are one of the churches of the NMS Congregational Network, and they will be utilizing Use Your Talents as a part of congregational development. So on the 8th of October, we did an asset mapping workshop. And can someone tell us what that is or was? Someone who was here for those who weren't here. Kari? Okay. Does that make sense for those who weren't here? Assets, gifts, talents, resources, abilities, whatever we have, competencies even, whatever we have as a church that we can use, either as individuals or together. Then last Sunday we talked about appreciative inquiry. Can someone tell us a bit about that? Well, you weren't here, but you walked through the process at Growth Group.
Well, we saw a short video of
MacGyver. Mm-hmm.
And he is good at using what there is for his needs. And we think the same way also in there's a program for mission work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it started in Madagascar. And what I'm involved in is also appropriate technology. Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And one of the things about appreciative inquiry and asset-based community development is we want to look at the positives. We want to start with the positive. In the world today, I don't know how many engineers we have in the room today or people that are involved with HSE, risk management, things like this. But so often in the world today, we're focused on the negatives, things that are wrong. We want to fix the problems, right? But in the Bible, we're told that we're not to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And consistently in the Bible, we're told, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is perfect, think of these things. So we're supposed to focus on the positive, right? Now, a case in point for this would be if we were to try and improve Legos. How many of you have played with Legos? Can somebody here describe Legos to me? How would you describe Legos to a blind person?
The most basic Lego is square or rectangular with little knobs on the top, and they all connect together. And once you squeeze them together, they stay together.
Okay. Kind of like the gifts that we've been given. All right, so your basic Lego is a square or rectangle with knobs on top, and they connect together. And how do they connect together? What is required for them to be able to connect together?
Squeeze.
Squeeze?
You have to line up the knobs with the bottom of the Lego on top.
Okay, and what's in the bottom of the Lego?
Holes.
All right. Now, if we wanted to improve the Legos, let's say that we wanted to get rid of the holes, because those are bad things, right? We don't like deficits, so we're going to get rid of those holes. Would Legos work? No. Or what about if we wanted to get rid of the tops of the Legos, right? Because we don't want all those assets. We want to be plain. We want to be simple, right? How would the Legos work then? Could we build something creative? No. You see, while we want to focus on the positives, on the assets, one of the things that's important for community are the holes. If you think back to some of the videos that we've seen because of you today with Leandro and Flavia, community is built with the holes. The needs that we have as individuals, the needs that we have as a community, those coming together with our assets is what builds something fantastic. And if we take away the holes, we can't connect. If we take away the assets, we can't build upon the foundation that's been laid. So community requires both the holes and the knobs. In other words, you allow your family to be your community when you allow them to meet your needs. You see, when you come to this church with needs and you allow people to participate in that, then we can build a wonderful community. Have you ever thought of your needs as a gift that you can bring to this church? First Peter, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Actually, we start with verse 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumbled because they disobeyed the message, which is also they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We begin this by talking about the things that are wrong. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit. In other words, the message starts with, grow up. But quickly, we see in verse 9, you are a community. We are a community. Jesus is our cornerstone. We are a holy people, a royal priesthood. Because, not of us, but because of him, because of Christ. You see, it's not because of all of our assets that we're a community. God knows exactly who we are, what our needs are, and says, come. Come as you are and become a community. And as you become a community together, grow together, mature together. Does anyone have any wonderful memories from any church, this church or another church? Anyone? You want to share those with us quickly? Okay. Someone else? Yes, Siri? Anyone else?
Yep,
I know. Oh, sorry?
I have some more things, but I can wait.
Okay, Sam? Wonderful. Yes? Yes? So my next question is, what do these things tell us? What these people have stated, Poland, dancing, support, sharing, Netherlands, challenges, what does that tell us about some core values that are important to us in a church? What was Joseph talking about? What's a core value that Joseph was talking about?
Fellowship.
Okay. Welcome. What a... And food. But isn't food a part of fellowship?
Amen. Yes.
Siri was talking about dance. Okay. Different gifts being used. Again, that's different gifts being used, the support and sharing. Talking about that. Community. The Netherlands, you use the word yourself, community. And then Diane was talking about, in spite of the challenges that you're able to give, you're able to use yourself and be a part and support. One thing that Diane has also shared with me in the past is it's amazing to her that her challenges seem to be less when she gives to the church. In time, in service, right? So it's important to her to be able to give. In other words, we often have a need to be needed. So these are some of the things that we can learn about community. What's important to community? I'll challenge you to think about this. We did this in our growth group this past week, and we're talking about this, and we came up with two words, really, community and belonging. And that's what I'm hearing again, is community and belonging. These are core values that are important to us for a church. We want to be a part. Sometimes that means giving, but let's also not forget that sometimes it means receiving. So, A, B, C, D. What do the letters stand for? Yes.
Asset-based community development.
Very good. But I have a few other words that I'd like to use with these. And I have Bible passages for all of these. First off, we have all. If we look back to the scripture reading for today, one of the things that we see is that all have a gift. All are to be involved. It says, just because the hand says, I'm not a foot, so I shouldn't be a part of the body, it does not cease to be a part of the body for that reason. All are involved. All have a gift. We all have something we can contribute. I hope you found your place to serve in this church. If not, you'll get a chance to do so. The other thing is that it's biblically based. Asset-based community development did not start in the church. It did not start by Christians. It started by community activists, people like Barack Obama before he became a senator, when he was a community organizer. And they go into the community and they see what assets the community has to help them to help themselves. Because one of the problems that we've seen with helping other people, if we have a need-based mentality, is they start becoming dependent on the outside help. Or they might develop a victim mentality. We're lesser. We need help from other people. We're not as good as other people. And this is one thing that we've seen in Madagascar, in the Norwegian Mission Society. As the Malagasy have sat down and looked at their assets, they're able to give. And that's part of the reason why some of the Malagasy are now serving as missionaries in Thailand. We have something to give. We're going to give what we have. Or they work together. There's a whole book on that. If you want to read about that, it's in English. I have got that. Use Your Talents talking about this. Some wonderful, wonderful stories. But this is very much biblically based. But it's also an excellent example of Christian community. While it did not start in the church, we can see that God truly is the creator. That even the things that we didn't start ourselves and sit down and say, this is God's plan for the world, we can see that God has a purpose with this and that the basis is in him. The other thing that we see with asset-based community development is an element of diakonia, a great word that we really don't have in English. Deacons come from the word, but we don't have that actual act in English. But that means serving one another, helping others, giving. And we very much see that that's a part of asset-based community development. So what are some wishes that you have for our church? We did this exercise, growth group, this week. Three wishes. When we said three wishes, we ended up coming up with, I don't know, five or six. Those were our three wishes. But anyway, three wishes for this church. Someone have a wish for this church, something that they want this church to do or accomplish or be. Sorry?
To grow.
Define growth. Well, why don't we let him define it first? And then you can see if you need to tell him to be careful or not.
He's quiet too long.
I'm sorry. I could say something mean, but I'd say it to myself first. Yes, Kennedy.
Yeah, growth here, I mean in terms of commitment to the church.
Mm-hmm. Marty, you weren't here last week, but we talked about a grocer. Does anyone remember our grocer who did an inventory? He had a job to do an inventory of his grocery store, but he thought, you know what, I don't like vegetables and fruits, so I'm not going to count those. And the things that are high on the shelf, I can't be bothered to count those. You know what? I really don't want to have to walk around the whole store counting things. You know what? Let me just sit here at my desk and count. All right, what can I count? I can count the number of employees and how much salary they're paid. Oh, you know what? I also have the size of the building. I have that information here. And I can also calculate how much money we have in our cash register. So that's the inventory I'm going to do. Do you think his bosses were happy? No. But isn't that exactly what we do with the church? When we do an inventory of the church, we look at staff and volunteers. We look at facilities. And we look at how much money the church has through offerings and gifts. Does that say anything about the spiritual health of a church? Now, I believe that we need people, in our case, the church council, that focuses on some of those details because they are important. But that shouldn't be what we're looking at in terms of growth, should it? Spiritual growth. How many hours people are serving each week? How we're serving each other? Am I growing in my walk with the Lord? Are we growing together as a body? That kind of growth is very important, and I don't think we need to be careful with that. Anything else? Other wishes for this church? Yes. Okay. Look after the young generation. Okay. Grow them up in the way of the Lord. Perhaps they'll serve as missionaries. They take care of other people, take care of us. Invest in them. Transformation. Now, how are we going to do these things?
Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Enjoying God.
Perhaps that's a part of growth. Yes, no worries. We have our assets. If we use our assets to accomplish these goals, by using them together in our community, I do believe that we can be successful. Success is what God gives. That's His work. But our part is to give of ourselves. We had some ideas. You'll see them out in the entryway. I'm going to place some additional pieces of paper, some tape, and these pins out there in case anyone who wasn't here on the 8th of October would like to also list some assets. You can either just put them on the whiteboard that's out there independent of anything else, or if you define an asset that's not out there and you can see where it would fit in with other of the assets that are clustered together, you can put it in with those clusters. Okay? All right. Some ideas. Backlighting was too much. We see Charles and... Sorry? Okay. There is Chris. Also in front of that same poster is Serdishan. Dennis and Kennedy, I think. Yes? I didn't get all the pictures that Sunday, so if you have pictures, because everyone was supposed to take a selfie, of which cluster they wanted to be a part of, send it to me. There's information to send it to me. If you don't remember that, you can always send it to the church office. Feel free to do that. So here's my question to you. In 10 years' time, someone's going to finish the statement, because of you, and they're talking about you. What do you want them to say? Because of you... If you were to do one extra thing in your life today to take a step in that direction, what would you do? Yes? Sorry? Live the word more. Okay? Sorry. I need to confirm this with Pius, so we'll get back to that. What we're going to do is we're going to invite all the leaders, the council members, the growth group leaders, the ministry leaders, the team leaders, and everyone else in the church to a time where we'll run through this process together again. It's not a program, but hopefully this becomes a way of thinking where we do this appreciative inquiry, the questions that were on our piece of paper last week. We have, I think, some in the back if you weren't here last week and want that. If not, you can send me an email. I can send that to you. To do asset mapping and to continue to combine our assets together to create ways of serving our community both the people in this church and outside of this church. So the thing that I want to leave you with this week is imagine sometime in the future, people are talking about the impact that you've made on their life. Consider that as we listen to this song.
I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing that someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. Then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day, when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Then another man stood before you. He said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. One by one they came, for as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, noticed here on earth, in heaven now proclaim. Listen, I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure I saw tears in your eyes when Jesus took your hand. And you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Sing it now. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am alive, that's been changed. I am so glad you with each and every one of you here today, that you gave all that you had as you've touched the many lives along the way.